podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me Cece, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hello.
Denise. Yo, happy summer solstice.
Is that what it is? You hippie?
Oh my gosh, I was super grumpy. It rained like the whole day. And it wasn't until late in the afternoon that the sun came out in London. But London is underwater right now. So much for solstice.
No, Vienna is a sauna of sun and goodness and good vibes and big booties. And I didn't even know you had a I did not know that Europeans had this much junk up in their trunk. Wow. I just didn't know.
Okay.
But I guess, you know, when you eat that Vienna schnitzel.
It might happen.
You know where it goes.
So this week has been funny. There's been like all kinds of things coming out of pop culture news. So let's see.
So many emotions.
So like Rihanna was crying up on the stage at her concert in Dublin. They had to like sing a song for her. I was like, Rihanna, get it together. Smoke you one before you get on the stage.
Well, she just learned how to sing herself. She really feeling it. You know what I mean? Well, everybody really appreciate me some Rihanna. She worked at that craft, but when she came out, it was like, you knew what it was.
That was. That was her style. That's what she's known for, right?
That the style, or is that the capability? No. With the, okay. Yeah. Look, I feel like she's grown as an artist. It's not shade, really. Okay. I feel like she came out and she could go from A flat to A flat minor. And now she hitting scales and stuff. You know, okay. She got somebody up in her corner like Rihanna. I don't even know. Voice stuff like that, but you know, give me a vibrato, Rihanna. Hook it up.
Vibrato. And then her lover boy, Drake, has canceled all of his breakfast meet and greets for his summer concert tour.
You know, Drake ain't trying to get shot and stuff. Like, that's such a way. I mean, coming back to that very sad thing that happened to Grimy, I mean, just to think about that just for a second. Like, it wasn't even though, like, I'm a pusher, I'm a rough. It was just like, I'm going to shoot you and stuff. Like, I got the knife and I got the, like, did he have mace too? Did he have, I mean, like, he just went all out. Like, he was taken down. And this is like a buck 05 this woman is. Mm-hmm. This one was a tiny, petite woman. And he was like, I need all the artillery. So, you know, if they coming for Jake, they're going to have like a jackhammer. They don't, Drake ain't trying it.
Not to mention the shooting that recently happened in New York at a concert that T.I. was headlining. So, yeah, I guess there's some feelings in the air. He gave no comment about why he was doing it. He just offered refunds. At least he offered refunds, unlike other people we know who get pregnant.
You know, it's probably not even just because of violence. I have a feeling that Drake, you know, he be, you know, people be like going to hugging and slipping panties up in his.
Hey. Hey, Drake. Just...
Hey, Drake.
I might slip him more than that.
Ooh,
I might
Lord.
Just take his hand. Hey, Drake, hey, you like that? You like that feeling?
Let me just tell you something. For everybody who was on the fence about it, I'm going to let you know for one and for all that Scorpios are nasty. They are nasty.
We are not nasty. Sinful. We might be naughty. Not nasty. There is a difference.
Nasty in a prince fashion, but nasty nonetheless.
Then Kim Kardashian got dragged by Black Twitter when she put up that struggle plate that she was serving Kanye of what was supposed to be soul food. Ooh. And somebody went in, they were like, poor Kanye, he eating canned green beans, dried mac and cheese, burnt sweet potatoes.
That's love, baby. That's love. Because how you gonna try to make soul food? You ain't got no soul. How's that?
Tried to make soul food and then took a picture of it. It's like, Kim, get off of the pictures. Not everything should be photographed. Keep that to yourself. Let's see what else happened. Oh, yes. Iggy said she can no longer forgive. She is not capable.
Can't trust him. Can't trust it. Like, oh, you just now found out? Good waking up, Iggy. But I already knew that something was up when she talking about, I'm moving back to Australia. I was like, that shit's done.
Well, she got to make money. She got to make money.
She got to make money
right now.
Come on. You know, Nick Cannon not even good on a short distance.
Stop. Like, it's not Nick Cannon. That's not his name,
oh,
first of all.
Sorry. Give me the name.
Please do not call him Nick Cannon. Nick from
Nick
the Lakers.
Nick Cannon is Mariah Carey's ex. I'm sorry, y'all.
Okay. So moving on.
What was Iggy's ex name?
Nick from the meme. I don't know.
Oh, snap.
Nick from the Lakers.
He ain't even going to have a last name no more. He's like a slave. Call me Toby. It's over.
His name is Nick Young.
Nick Young. Okay. Nick Young. I knew he can't even handle living down a block from you. He gonna be sleeping with like the neighborhood watch person. I mean, like
he plays for the LA Lakers, the same team that Kobe Bryant just retired from. Like, come on. They're known to get it in. They're known to get it in.
And the car she gave you.
So that
I hope
was
she
never
got,
confirmed.
Iggy, get your money back, boo boo.
That was never.
You shouldn't have been. You shouldn't. Yeah, he's a ball player. You shouldn't have been buying him a cup of soup. Like,
I know who does that. Who does that?
I hope she.
Since we're talking about ball players, I would like to give a shout out to my man LeBron. He left the Miami Heat, and it hurt us deeply.
It hurt us deeply.
Yes, yes. Okay. It hurt all Miami Heat fans deeply. But he did what he went to Cleveland. And he did what he said he was going to do. He brought the championship home to Cleveland. Our little buddy Curry had a little tantrum when he lost. That's all right. His wife also got dragged on Twitter this week. We're not going to talk about it. But shout out to the Cleveland Cavaliers for coming back, the first team in history to come back from a 3-1 deficit to take it home. LeBron, MVP, unanimous decision. He the real MVP. But since obviously we mentioned last week how excited we were about Afropunk London.
And I did say, oh, you forgiving MIA.
I didn't say I was forgiving anybody.
I just said it was a question.
I deflected like a mug. And I was like, just like you forgive old girl. So they are actually teaming up. It didn't take long for people to be super upset about the fact that MIA
is anti-black as shit.
MIA is meant to be headlining Afropunk London. Afropunk London. Afropunk, for those of you who don't know, is about black excellence. MIA is not black.
Afropunk is for everybody. See, I already knew they were heading in this direction when they made a movie about Afropunk Paris 2015. And my girl that took me there was like, check out the recap video that they made. And in the recap video, someone was up in there having a kumbaya moment about, doesn't matter your race. I was like, bitch, it's called Afropunk. Like, what, how, what, when, since when?
Yes.
Is it, I don't understand now. Now I'm confused.
Well.
So I knew they was going to head in this kind of like racially ambiguous, we are all one.
Well, you know, they've gotten to that size, right? Where they need larger sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And tone tends to change, unfortunately. I don't think it has to, but people don't understand their negotiating power and do tend to change and show a great deal of deference where it's not necessary. So for those of you who may not know, MIA made some comments earlier in the year in an interview and questioned Black Lives Matter, basically saying that's the only thing that is actually politically correct to talk about the deaths of Black people. And why aren't people like Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce using their platform to talk about the deaths of brown people anyway? So obviously that didn't sit well with anyone from the Black community who understands just even the smallest bit of the Black liberation movement going on right now. MIA has been under attack since being announced as the headliner, and she went on Twitter to say, it's not the first time my words have been twisted. When you see drones, we don't think what's the color of the person flying it. We see USA. If pulling the show saves the cause and lives, then that's what I'll do. 65 million people displaced by 2015, World Refugee Day. Sorry, I'm not doing Afropunk. I've been told to stay in my lane. Ha! There is no lane for 65 million refugees whose lanes are blown up. And then she ended her little Twitter rant with, 20 years from now, the kids of 65 million will be listening to all types of music, not their own, because they will grow up elsewhere. Hashtag no lanes. Now, I will say that last tweet makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. I didn't grow up in Africa. I still listen to many playlists called Afrobeats. I don't know. What the hell is she talking about? Who knows? All I know is Afropunk the organization has been quiet
she,
on it.
Maybe she hasn't learned about the internet. I don't know. Because you could live in a remote island and listen to whatever the hell you want to.
Exactly.
You don't got to be a refugee to listen to different music. Bitch. Just because your ex-boyfriend was all about poaching black music like the fucking play. I can't with her. So I cannot with her.
Afropunk organization has been quiet. They have not responded yet. All that has been said is the official people who represent MIA, as well as Afropunk, have said there are contracts in place. So it was real clear what they were trying to say with that. I just wonder, why is it so important to her? Why is it so important to her to headline at Afropunk?
I don't think it's important to her at all to headline at Afropunk. I think wherever somebody writes a check, she'll just go. And I don't really think she gives a shit about much per se in terms of like, I have to be performing at Afropunk. I don't think that she pursued Afropunk. I think they pursued her and they came to her people and were like, you want to do this? And she was like, yeah, I'm down. You know, they don't write a check. Is it good? Okay, good. I'm going to be there. I don't necessarily think that, you know, she was like, I need to be in front of black people. Like, I don't really think that's what happened. I think that the people at Afropunk that are organizing Afropunk London, let me just be clear, because I feel like I don't think that there's a central committee organizing every single Afropunk, like Afropunk Paris. I might be wrong, but I don't get the idea that it is that way. I think that the Afropunk Brooklyn people are their own thing. And then there was Afropunk Paris, which is new. And then Afropunk London is a subcommittee or whatever. And those people seem remarkably culturally obtuse.
But if there is a subcommittee, don't you think they would have done a better job at who they book?
Mm-mm. Because who knows who they decided to put on that subcommittee? It could be their cousin that live in London. It could be, right? You know, it could be somebody living in Atlanta, you know, making some decisions about what's going to, but I'm just saying, you know, it could be someone living wherever, mm-hmm. making decisions about what's going to go down in London because, you know, a festival is a festival. Mm-hmm. The fact that they cannot even put a tweet together,
right?
Saying 2-3 sentences, mm-hmm. like that's just amazing. With all the technology that exists in the world, you can't have, you know, a massively engaged Afropunk community put in some names in a hat of who they want to see.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's so easy. I could set that up on a Google Doc. Like, come on, what you doing? You don't even need a website for that. Come on.
Well, what's so upsetting about, to me personally, about MIA's comments is she claims that she's speaking for the 65 million refugees. Well, boo-boo, some of those 65 million are black. And what she misses is the intersectionality. She talks about Islamophobia and Muslims and whatnot. She lives in the States. She should know what the largest population of Muslims is in the States. Like, just because you're Muslim doesn't mean you're not black. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And just because you're a refugee doesn't mean you're not black. I don't even get, like, her reasoning on... And then, like, to go for Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce of all people... Girlfriend, you're from like the UK. Why don't you talk to the UK about their stance and the European Union in general? Why don't you call those people out on their anti-refugee policies?
Not only that, but MIA made major books talking all manner of shit against the empire and about, you know, being Tamali and fighting in
the Sri Lankan Civil War.
The Sri Lankan Civil War. All of it. So I feel like a lot of it sounds like sour grapes. She's not what's popping right now.
Right.
I love her music. I think I'll always love her music, right?
I love her music, for sure.
But in the sense that she's not making Beyonce money right now. She's not making Kendrick money.
She's never going to make Beyonce money, though.
Right. Right. And that's not always about your message, boo, though.
Right.
Right? Like, sometimes that's just not where you are right now.
Well, she's also incredibly difficult to work with. Like, that has been said clearly many a time. I mean, her and Madonna had a falling out.
Oof. How you gonna fuck up the Madonna Super Bowl situation? Come on. Right. You needed that middle finger to happen. That was for the refugees, bitch.
Yes, that was for the refugees.
She gets on my nerves with this because there's so many amazing people that have spelled it out. They were like, this is an A. This is a B. Like, they have spelled it out. One in particular is Cecile M.K. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
The British filmmaker, British black filmmaker, who does the Strolling series. I think that's her most famous series, mm-hmm. online. And she just came for it and MIA blocked her. But what's really annoying is that she went in. She went into the history of black British art and how it's always been co-opted and been taken away from them when it became profitable. All of this stuff. And she was the main one. And in all of these articles that I've read about, you know, MIA has said because Black Lives Matter, they don't mention her. And furthermore, she doesn't mention, Cecile MLK doesn't mention, because of Black Lives Matter, you need to drop out. She's mentioning the fact that MIA is taking the stage where Black British people need to be.
Right.
So it's just whack. So it's another form of erasure, even just talking about it and how it's been spun. I'm sorry, spin's not a word. How it's been spun in the media. English ain't my first language.
But you know, what's crazy to me is the bleaching product CoverGirl, Azalea White Banks. Edicious.
The White Initius brand ambassador.
Right. Goes on a rant talking about leave MIA the F alone. You guys are idiots and have completely missed the point of what she's trying to tell you. This is a Black person. Sri Lankans, Indians are Black. No.
No, they ain't.
No, no they're not. No. That's exactly no, not. What you're saying.
Like,
Banks,
I was just like, oh, you're my missing God. The point. Azealia Banks, get out of Brooklyn or wherever the hell under rock you are living under. Sri Lankan people are not Black. Like, it's... Oh, stop it. I just can't with Azealia Banks. This is New York City public schools, y'all. And that's why I feel for her. I feel for Azealia Banks.
Well, I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful that they're going to get it together. They could have an FKA Twigs headlining. I would be a very happy person.
You know, I looked and I saw that FKA Twigs supposed to be in California on like the same day as Afropunk, right?
That's all right, though. If they give her the right amount of incentive...
And I bet her manager can look her dead in her face and be like, contracts are in place. Bitch, shut the fuck up and sit down and do this gig.
Every time I've tried to see her, I've been too late and I've not gotten a ticket. I am so upset. I'd love to see her. And first of all, like, it doesn't even make sense to me that Afropunk London is happening on over the course of one day. Granted, it's meant to start at like 11, but who does Afropunk London and does it for one day?
My understanding is that real estate prices in London are ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, like, look.
They could have done it in the park. They could have done it in the park. They could have done it in the park. The parks are set up. There's like every weekend, every of the whole summer, rain or shine, there is something big happening in the parks here.
You know, they just got this together like the day before yesterday. So I'm pretty sure a London park be booked a good 6 months out.
Probably a year out. And right. Yes, so that's true. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever.
The whole situation with Afropunk London is a bit ad hoc. It's, I'm just, you know, from my own perspective, I feel as though they don't seem to, they're not putting together a really tight situation. And my peoples in London that do a lot of media and have web series and stuff there, the people, you know, that whole crew of people that I met down at the Splash Hip Hop Festival in Germany,
right,
that live in London, are like, yeah, I ain't paying money to see it.
Ooh.
That's a bad sign.
That is
These
a bad
are like
sign.
The dopest people, besides you, of course, that I know in the UK. So I don't like the way I feel. I mean, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to have fun regardless. It's going to be all right.
Well, we need to hook up the press pass. Situation. We need to hook up the press pass then.
Girl, you know, I don't need, like, I'm just saying, I don't really, yeah, I'm concerned. I feel like they need to get somebody who has a cultural competency on their staff. Somebody who can write a confident tweet that they don't delete later. Wow. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. In our second segment, it was Emancipation Day this week. And no, I'm not talking about the fact that Boris from the Tories said that when the UK votes for Brexit, they will have their Independence Day. I'm not referring to that. I am referring to June 19th, which is recognized in the US as the day the slaves was officially free. Now, some of you may wonder, how is that possible? Abraham Lincoln gave an executive order, which became official on January 1st, 1863. It was another 2.5 years later, in 1865, on June 19th, when the slaves of Texas, that free state, as they like to call themselves, were informed about the fact that they were free. Now, this is an interesting kind of sort of holiday. It's not really celebrated as a holiday. It is like a half state holiday in Texas, but this week particularly was interesting for Juneteenth because on June 21st, the people of Mississippi, the Attorney General of Mississippi, decided that they were officially closing the case of what's known as the Mississippi Burning case, closed after 52 years, where three people, Michael Schroener, James Chaney, and Andrew Goodman, who had been trying to sign people up for voting in the horrible state of Mississippi, were arrested for trying to do that. And then as soon as they were released from jail, the civil rights organizers were taken by the Ku Klux Klan. And then they disappeared. They were found later, shot to death. That happened this week. Alicia Garza also gave an interview this week that was published on the Huffington Post, where she talks about her belief in the democratic system and how this is a time of change and transformation and that Blacks are leading that change. So there were a lot of things going on for Juneteenth. Not to forget that Florida is still in mourning. There are still several funerals taking place for the victims of the Pulse shooting. So there's a lot of different things, little different aspects happening around Juneteenth. What does Juneteenth mean in 2016? What does it mean for Black queer women especially?
One thing I wanted to tie in there is that the Supreme Court just handed down a horrible ruling.
Yes.
That said that it was okay.
I'm still trying to block that one out of my head.
It's okay for officers to use evidence that they find while conducting an illegal search. Now, you know, illegal searches happen on Black people very, very often. And there was a big push around Occupy Wall Street and around all of the exposing and recording and viewing of police violence where people were told to know their rights.
Exactly.
The problem with Black people knowing their rights is that we don't get the benefits of those rights, whether we know them or not. It's helpful sometimes, but if you speak up for your rights, that's seen as an affront, and that's seen as assault against the officer in some cases, right? And you could die for being too uppity. Being uppity is a capital crime in the United States. This is the exact crime that caused June 19th. White people are not invested at all in honoring our rights, and the system isn't invested at all, because at this point, you know, all colors of cops, right? But the system that holds them up as the authority is not at all invested in imparting those rights upon Black people. And when Black people civilly, nonviolently, calmly even demand those rights because they know them, that is seen as an affront, and they are killed just for knowing it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that June 19th is when the people in Texas found out. I know it's before the internet or whatever, but you know, they had all kinds of ways of communicating things. Somebody must have been traveling somewhere and figured some shit out. But I believe June 19th was the time where it became okay, where the white masses realized that they could not commit that fraud on a large scale in such a way anymore.
Well, there are a lot of different theories about it. There's one theory that says that the person, the messenger who was sent, was murdered on the way. Mm. There's one theory that says that they were given that delay so that they could have one last cotton harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say that it was just deliberately withheld. It's not really known. It could have been all three or none of them. Who knows? But what did happen between 1863 and 1865 was the surrender of General Lee, which was, of course, huge. And it wasn't until after that surrender that they made it to Galveston, Texas, to spread the good news.
Well, I mean, Texas is on the forefront of stopping the good news in 2016, right? Like, that's the Texas way, right?
Yes.
They don't want nobody to know the good news, you know? So that's what's up. I mean, they're the ones that have the driving around wild brown profiling laws that went up against the, is going up for a Supreme Court challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the forefront.
You can open carry. You can open carry.
Right, you can open carry if you're white. Let's be real. If you're white, you can. I mean, all manner of nonsense going down in Texas. So
they've done things to remove abortion clinics.
Oh, man, that's going up before the Supreme Court. That's the next judgment. And this last one, that last one doesn't leave me optimistic.
Not at all. But in 2016, there are people like the three women, two of whom identify as queer, three Black women who founded Black Lives Matter, as well, not just the hashtag, but also the greater organization or the movement. There are people like Kimberly Crenshaw who are leading movements, say her name, because unfortunately, when people think of Black Lives Matter, they only know names like Eric Garner and Mike Brown. They don't know names like what?
Listen, you know, I hear that, but I'm also sitting in Vienna where somebody got money together to bring Dr. Umar Johnson here. And I say that because, and this is how it's related to me, is that if a Kimberly Crenshaw was a man, right? We would, you know her name. You a fangirl. Kimberly, if you listen to it, this, your number one.
She knows. She follows me.
Okay. So that, you a fan. But I feel like if, you know, Kimberly was Kanye or was a male person, that everyone would know their name. I mean, like, Black men, there's such a thirst for men to come into these roles that you would take a fraud and pay this fraud and bring him across the Atlantic, right? But before you, like, if you ask even people that are sometimes in the protest, ask them the names of the three Black women that started. I mean, girl, if there were three dudes, it would be like Malcolm. You would know these names.
How do people not know these names? Alicia, Opal, Patrice. If anyone is listening, Alicia, Opal, Patrice. That's their name.
I hear that. You and I know that. I'm just saying.
Maybe we have some people tuning in today. But you guys did have Angela Davis come last year. She held two talks, one at a major event at the university celebrating its, 500 years?
That's dope.
So, you know, her name is well known.
At a major university that has no Black faculty, but okay. But yeah, wonderful. I mean, that's not her fault, of course.
Right.
But I'm talking about just, you know,
I feel you.
I'm the pessimist of this group, all right? This is my role. Just, you know what I'll do.
So what are you saying to the Black queer women of 2016 who were waving flags and eating food and partying in the streets for Juneteenth? What are you saying? Go back home?
No. In the kitchen? Do that. I mean, I feel like they're having a leadership role. I feel like Black queer women have always had a leadership role. If you look at the women's rights movement, which has been completely whitewashed, Black queer women have had a leadership role.
Absolutely. Barbara Smith. So, Shirley Chisholm. I don't know. Was Chisholm out? I might be out.
Oh, well, look, let me tell you something. Chisholm, I am feeling the dog through the archival footage. That's a serious vibe, Shirley. Like, you, Miss Shirley, come on. I don't know. I'm speculating, but... maybe that's how they made straight women back then. I don't know. How they used to roll.
Okay, but one message. It is Pride Week in London. It was Pride last week in Vienna. This weekend, it's London Pride on the Saturday. There's a queer picnic and kind of a protest to London Pride. And then Sunday is UK Black Pride. So, you know, what can I take? What's the good news I can spread in those? I can be like, it was Juneteenth. It's Pride. Be proud. Yes. Don't stop.
I'm a big fan of Black Gay Prides. I love them. I absolutely love them. And they haven't been co-opted in the same way that the mainstream prides have been co-opted yet. I mean, we don't know what's going to come in the future. You know, I feel like Afropunk is foreshadowing.
I know. And Afropunk just started in 2005. Doesn't it normally take a little bit longer? Goodness.
But it blew up so great. I mean,
that's true.
Like, what kind of awesome pool are you dipping in? You say your pool is non-traditional Black artists. That's every Black artist. That's awesome. We're the best. Are you kidding? We don't get to be mediocre. Give me a break. That's a lot of excellence. that lineup was just pure excellence. The initial lineup and all the lineups since have been chock full of excellence. So now, of course, you know, now they're realizing at least the way it could be commodified. I wish that they would also realize the way that it could empower folks on the same lines.
I read this really interesting statement, and I thought that it rang true today as well. It said, even with nowhere to go, many felt that leaving the plantation would be their first grasp of freedom. And I feel like that's what we're having right now. Like, there's been a lot of talk over the last 8 years of a post-racial blah, blah, blah society. We know that's ridiculous. And we know that the first Black president got a lot of things wrong, but he got a lot of things right. And I think that comes with the office. A lot of the things that you think you're going to do when you get in office, you won't be able to do, right? That's why I'm not a politician today. If you're an elected official, you have to make ugly compromises. But it is the first grasp of freedom. I don't think it's surprising that this Black liberation movement, as we are experiencing it currently, came to become so prominent under the first Black president of the United States. And I don't think it's surprising that the xenophobia and bigotry and hate that we hear coming out of white communities is a surprise under the first Black president. So I personally believe this is the first grasp of freedom. And even if we feel like we don't know where we're going right now, or the things that we envision seem very far away, we have to stay on the path.
You were meditating today, weren't you?
I meditate every day.
Stay on the path. I like it. It's very nice. Okay, we're going to stay on the path. Watching to freedom going. Don't know where. Oh, don't sing the spiritual? Okay, because I ain't marching if we can't sing. I'm going to just let you know that right now.
And in our third segment, what are we excited about? She's still saying this.
I'm excited about Indiana. There's a lot going down. Uh-huh. One, Black people in Indiana is blowing up crazy time. That's crazy. Nice. Like, so many people are joining and big things are popping there. Uh-huh. Bodies of Knowledge is having their finale. Bodies of Knowledge is a series, Afrofuturistic series happening in Vienna. So they're having their finale on Saturday. That's dope. Mm-hmm. And it's competing even with other things like, you know, all manner of music. I mean, because, you know, Vienna has lost its mind because it's the weather, it's the climate of the south of Spain right now.
Wow.
Like, it's so nice.
Amazing.
And hot. And there's booty, 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 booty everywhere. So that's awesome. I'm moving into my last week in town, y'all.
Uh-oh. And then we're going to have to...
Then we're going to be podcasting from Guyana.
We'll see.
My podcast, this is my segment going to sound like this. Let me write it on chat. Let me write it on chat. Say it. I'm going to write it on chat. I don't know. Guyana probably got the bomb internet. They got Airbnb in Guyana. I was like, I was like, how you got Airbnb in Guyana? Airbnb is scary, yo.
You know,
Airbnb is the Borg. That shit is scary, yo.
You're not saying like, I know Airbnb.
I'm not. I'm staying at the hotel. Staying at the hotel. I need my AC. Look, the mosquitoes be as big as your hand, dude.
You better take the citronella candles. Take them.
Those mosquitoes will pick up the citronella candles and throw it on your face.
No. They save me in India every time. If they save me in India, they'll save you in Guyana, I promise.
Girl, I don't know. We got the hybrids. They be coming straight from the Amazon.
Oh, yeah, they really do. Well, come back healthy, please. Get your shots.
I got the one shot. I got to get my next shot. I have two shots. So, yeah, I might come up with autism. I don't know. Might be autistic right now because I had a shot last week.
With your vaccination. You know that's what it causes it now. Well, I'm looking forward to UK Black Pride on Sunday. My Black Queer Women's Group in London will be meeting for a picnic. I got some friends trying to get me to come out on Saturday. I doubt it seriously. I very rarely go to like mainstream Pride these days. Unless it's like in Berlin, I actually do like the mini celebrations of Pride. Here, the one year I went, I even went with my niece. She was here just to experience Pride in Berlin and Pride in London. And we had just come back from Berlin and it was just an ultimate disappointment. You're not even allowed to like march in the parade. You have to watch the people march past you. You can't participate. The music isn't loud. The trucks aren't big. It's boring. I'm not interested. So Black Pride will be nice. It's always in the park. They have some good acts that come out. Some of my friends will be on the stage. The rest of my friends will be on the blankets. We might be standing. I might have to bring a big umbrella. Who knows? We might be in some big ass rubber boots because London is flooding. You don't know. So much for bringing like the sexy clothes game, fashion game. It's just going to be like, this is me. Take it or leave it.
You gonna stay there if they vote to exit?
That ain't got nothing to do with me. Look, even if they vote to exit, what they're calling Brexit here, they're still gonna have to make all of the compromises that others have already made. Just like Norway, they're not kicking these people out. They need to stop playing games. Team Leave has done nothing but lie.
Lots of lies.
That a lot of people believe.
50% of the voting population, at least.
Yes, it's gonna be very close. The thing is, though, what a lot of people don't seem to understand, it's all a sham. Look, David Cameron, the current prime minister, he's already said he's not running again. They aren't legally bound to accept the vote. So if things go bad, they can just say, you know, the Tories, his party, can throw him under the bus. They stay in. All goes well. I don't see any major things happening after today. But who knows? We'll see. We'll see. By the time this podcast is up, I might sound like a complete idiot.
If you get out before the zombie invasion, you could come stay at my place in Vienna.
Girl, if I'm in the middle of a zombie invasion, I want to be where I have access to all kinds of weaponry.
There's the joint selling the semi-automatics around the corner from my house.
Okay, then I'll hit you up.
Make it happen.
I gotta be. Got to be well supplied.
That's when you need the weaponry. Like, you all saw 28 days later. We know what's going to happen. I'm prepared.
And you know that movie, The Purge, is coming out. I think that's going to be intense. It looks disgusting, though. I don't think I'm going to watch it. I can't support that level of violence.
I feel like every horror movie I've seen so like in the recent past is all about the destruction of the UK. Because I just saw...
Did you just go see The Conjuring 2?
I saw Doomsday.
Oh, okay.
Where everybody in the UK get a virus.
I think Purge is set in the States, though. Is it not? I did see The Conjuring 2, which was set in North London. That was kind of deep. But it was based on a true story.
I bet you it was. It's happening right now. It's called Brexit.
Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we discussed today, so feel free to get at us. Until next time, peace out.